Steve, and then the rest was history. Yeah.
That's fun. We played everywhere. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a blast. All right, we're going to start right here. Hey, everyone. This is Anthony with Interviews with Everyday People, sitting here with Frank or Frankie Klein, depending on how you search him on Facebook.
Frankie Klein?
Yeah, with a Y.
Well, that's your like page.
And my regular page.
Your regular page is Frank Klein.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No, it's not.
Because I messaged both of them.
Okay, so, there is two.
Yes.
But Frankie Klein is the one that you want to...
That's the like page.
Right, but the other one also
is Frankie Klein. That's a terrible idea. As a marketing thing?
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll fix it.
Personal one should be like Frank Klein and then Frankie.
Right, so here's what happened, though. What I'm saying is, originally, I wrote it as Frankie Klein, because that's what I was going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm playing or whatever, I post videos on, but then Allison was like, you should make a regular page.
Yeah, like your actual Facebook page.
I did the actual Facebook page.
Yes.
She did the one where it's
the like page.
The like page, yes. Yeah, yeah.
I messaged both. So I actually, for a few days there, I was terrified. I didn't think this interview was happening. So Frank, has been busting my balls every time I go publish. Like, hey, I'm looking for you didn't message me yet, scumbag.
Well, I have to do it.
Yeah.
Right? So, true story. Swear to God. I swear to God this happened. So I have an iPhone 10, right? I'm telling you, I call my boss. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. I go out. I take my son to school. I go to Unimart, I plug my phone in, I go into Unimart, I'm in there for 20 seconds, I come back out, and I go to open my phone up, and it just flashes green. It still does it to this day. So I'm waiting for So it sucks. That being said, it sucks because I missed out on a show at Goodfellas. I missed out on a show opening up for Rude Groove, and I talked to Steve, he's like, oh yeah, Anthony's trying to get a hold of you. And I was like, oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah. I was like, this is not happening. He fucking fell off the earth.
Oh, this is the guy.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, Frank disappeared.
Okay, so listen. Okay, so it's actually kind of good that I don't have my phone, but it's not that good that I don't have my phone either at the same time.
Yeah, I was terrified. I was like, this isn't happening. I said, I'm going to punish him. I'm going to make him wait another 3 months. And I'm gonna bust them every time. Looking for somebody for an interview, not at Frankie Klein.
But it's kind of awkward to have, you know what I mean, my girlfriend, you know, going back and forth, or me even using her phone. It's just like,
yeah. I mean, you have to realize how I talked to Steve for almost 2 years was through Kendra, because his phone's always dead.
Always.
Yeah, always dead.
Never.
If you can't get a hold of Steve, you should go to Kendra.
Right.
Like, even if you're out and Kendra's trying to get a hold of you, or trying to get a hold of Steve, your phone is going. It's getting blown up
until
she gets a hold of Steve.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So that doesn't bother me messaging Allison. I've grown numb to that.
No, it just, you know, it's inconvenient for me.
That's what you should never do. iPhone.
And for her.
Yeah, just Galaxy. Just switch over.
Well, I know, but listen, my boss bought me the phone, so he pays for it. He bought it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm not gonna complain.
What are you doing now? You still doing like construction and stuff?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, I know. You know what?
Backbreaking work.
Listen, that's the thing. I'm a little guy, man. I gotta stop. I gotta make a decision. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be 39. I need to figure out what the hell I'm gonna do it, because I don't know if I can. I love doing it.
Yeah,
I do love doing it.
It just breaks you down.
It's gonna kill me. I'll be walking like a little old man, like, you know, like this.
Yeah,
60 or 70.
I mean, I when I was, like I said, you kind of know a little bit about my joint disorder, like my body's just already breaking down. I was joking around. I was like, oh, cool. Did everyone see the Motley Crue movie? I was like, yeah, I'm Mickey Mars. Like, I'm like, it's going to all fall apart one day. Like,
I didn't see the Motley Crue movie.
Oh, it's so good. You have to watch it. Yeah, but I was like, that. I related to him the most in the whole movie. Just like, he just, everyone's like,
well, wasn't he like 40 when he
found out?
No, wasn't he 40 when he joined Motley Crue?
But then he found out he has a problem where his joints and his back and everything is kind of just fusing together. That's why he literally walks, like, he can't turn his head.
Right.
He's just falling, the guy's falling apart. But yeah, I was in factories for a long, long time, and I got a gig working on a phone and talking to people, and I can use my personality instead of my body.
Right.
Like, unloading trucks all day, man. I couldn't imagine being on a roof in July.
Right. Well, no, I'm never on a roof.
Yeah.
Although I'm on scaffolding, which is equally, I guess,
yeah,
is rough.
But it's in your blood, too.
Yeah, and why is that?
because he's Mexican. We had a joke for the longest time when Trump was about to get enrolled, like when Trump was going to be in office, and we're like, he's going to win, and we're like, man, we got to find a new member of the band. Because Frankie's getting deported. And then he would look at Heidi and go, if I'm getting deported, so are you, because you look Mexican.
That's a true story.
Yep.
That is a true story.
So take us back a little bit here. What do you want to talk about tonight? You have something you want to, anything you want to talk about? How was it growing up? Like, well, you already told me a little bit during the unboxing video, you were getting beat up a little bit in school.
Well,
so.
I mean, I was little, man.
So yeah. I was little.
Well, life. Not only I was little, I was kind of a dirty kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That, you know, we were
like
the
a little
poor
hippie.
Kids. No, we're the poor kids.
Oh.
So
I can relate.
We didn't have a car. We didn't have a phone. We didn't have a TV, right?
I wasn't that dirty.
I'm okay. So I'll never forget. Not only did we, when we went to the video store, we would rent the tapes and the VCR. that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You win.
Yeah. Not that it's a battle or fight
no,
here, but
no.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a character builder.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think.
So when your kids are like, "Dad, my phone's not that," I'm like, "Motherfucker, yeah. I had to rent a VCR." Like,
I'm like, "Shut up, weasel! Get
yeah,
out of here." Yeah, it's like, yeah. So I think, you know, growing up poor like that, not 'cause I'm still poor, but I think that's why I laugh a lot. That's why I'm always laughing and I'm
yeah.
loud. And
there's nothing you can do about it.
Nothing I can do about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like when people are like, oh my God, my bill's not getting paid. Yeah. And they call you 14 times. You're like, sir, when can we expect payment? Right. You can expect it anytime you want. It's not coming until I get paid. Can you ask? My favorite is when a bill collector calls and they go, can you ask a friend or family to help you?
Right.
Yeah, can you help me pay my bill? Right. No, you're going to wait a week.
Well, you know, I think even though I grew up poor and whatever, you know, I moved out of the house when I was 18. I struggled the whole time. Mm. I didn't care. You know what I mean? I didn't care at all. I learned how to play the system a little bit. You know what I mean? You know, okay, I don't have to pay this whole PP&L bill. I'll just put $10 on it so they don't shut it off. You know what I mean? You gotta do it. But.
So, we'll dive into a little bit of the music. When did you get into the music scene? Like, how was it something you got into?
Oh, well, I always loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, so I used to stay at my grandmother's house, my great-grandmother, every weekend from the time I think I was like five, from five to seven, something like that. And she was the piano player at the church. So for as many times as I was over her house, I never heard her play. And then one time I'm in the bathroom, and I swear to God, I just told this story yesterday for the first time ever, I swear to God. And I'm in the bathroom, it's like a Saturday morning, and all of a sudden I hear the piano going. And I was like, what is this? I remember hurrying up, being done in the bathroom, and coming, and she didn't know I was there. And I sat on the couch, and I'll never forget, I had the biggest goosebumps I ever had in my life. I'll never forget it. She started singing. And now she, at this point, she's, you know, 85 years old. But I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even believe it that I was listening to it or even hearing it live. You know, and I was like, yes, that's what I want to do. Now, we're talking like 5, 6, 7 years old. And then when I was probably like 11 or 12, my mom used to hang out with this lady who was married to this guy who was in a band. And her cousin started dating this guy. Well, then we go over to one time and he's playing the guitar. And he asked me, Frankie, what song do you want me to play? And at the time, I was in a Kiss, right? So I said, "I want to. Can you do God of Thunder?" And he did. Same thing happened. Goosebumps, just like
when you're younger, and all the only thing you're exposed to musically is just like MTV,
right?
And then you see an actual human being do it in front of you, like
it's like, you know. And when I seen him play guitar, I was like, "That is what I want to do." Whatever I just felt. I want to do that over and over.
And it becomes
over.
More of a realistic thing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, if this dude can do it,
right.
I can do it. Like, right. It's like playing basketball. And you're like, oh, I can play basketball. And right. Then you're like, wait a second. This is if I put my time
yeah,
into
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my mom bought me a guitar when I was like 14 or 15. I didn't get lessons, but I tried. I tried to mess with it, and I only knew what I taught myself, and which was probably nothing.
Mm-hmm. How did you teach yourself?
Well, I'm getting there. So, I think I was like 15 or 16. I had this guitar, and I was smoking weed at the time. So, I think I sold the guitar for $50 for a bag of weed or something, right? I was stupid, you know? And I didn't think anything of it. I know I listen to music, and I always listen to the guitar, and I think that's what I want to do. So this is a true story, too. I move out of my...
I hope they're all true.
They're very true.
Okay.
I move out of my mom's house, and I'm the day I turned 18. And I moved in with my dad. And I lived there for a couple months. And then I moved back up next door to my mom in an efficiency apartment. I'm there for about a week, week and a half. Now, it's real cold outside. And me and my girlfriend at the time, we're driving up the Frackville Grade. I mean, it's freezing outside. And I see this dude that I used to go to school with like five sweaters on. And I'm like, I know that guy. You got to pull over. So he gets in the car and he goes, dude, I don't know. I'm walking up to my dad's. I have nowhere to go. Like, whatever. And he's like, I don't even know if he's going to let me stay there. And I'm like, well, I mean, you can stay with me for a little bit if you want. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't think you're a bad guy. So he gets his stuff and he brings a guitar. Right? And he only knew like three songs. And I'm like, dude, you got to show me them three songs.
What were the songs?
Wish You Were Here. That was the first song. Come As You Are, you know, simple little ones, and Smoke Underwater.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
As soon as you showed me them, I was like, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm doing.
And at this age, you're how old are you?
18.
Now? 18.
Yep. So then I just was like, this is what I'm doing. So I ended up buying a guitar, an acoustic, and there were many weekends where I would just sit in my apartment by myself with chords. And play all weekend long.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought it was any good, but that's what I did. It was awesome.
What was the first song that you taught yourself that you're like, I'm going to sit down and learn this? And
the whole song?
The whole song.
Okay, because there's a million songs that I learned pieces of, right?
Yes, that's usually the trick. Like when I was trying to learn bass for a while there, because remember you guys needed a bass player, yeah. And Steve, like, oh, get this bass, borrow for a couple weeks, yeah. Pay me when you can, yeah. Learn bass. I learned, like, the beginning of, like, Gorillaz. And then, obviously, Seven Nation Army.
Yeah,
like, that's the easiest one to learn.
Yeah, so, you learn a bunch of pieces of the song. But the first whole song I've ever learned, I think, and that I was really proud of, I think was, I could be wrong, and if I think about it, I'll let you know, but I think it was the Love Song by Tesla.
Okay.
And I mean, the solo and everything.
Nice.
So, like, you know, I knew the whole finger picking part and the solo.
It was pretty much all self-taught.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do, like, tabs, or did you teach yourself how to learn how to read music, or?
No, I did tabs.
Just tabs?
And at the time, you know, I mean, I'm only 18. The internet wasn't out yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You couldn't, so I had to buy
the books.
Guitar magazines, yeah.
Yep.
So I would learn whatever songs that were in there. And I didn't know finger placements, and I didn't know how you do... Like, I knew the chords, but only the way I knew how to do them.
You developed your own style.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is something that I created this channel, and I have, like, interviews with everyday people, and then I was talking to Nikolai about, I was like, man, I should have just called it Conversations.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because interview sounds intimidating, but it's too late now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we had a lot of musicians on. I have probably more musicians than stories, just because it's easier for me, because I've been working with you guys and meeting people. And it's tough to get people to tell their stories. So, I mean, they're slowly coming around, and when the people that do, they're amazing stories. But the one thing I always try to, when we talk to musicians, is there's no blueprint on how to do something.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to a lesson, you can go and watch something on the internet, and it's going to be just like, well, your pinky goes here, and figure it out your way.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to make you, like, there's, like, when, if people would have went back and looked at Paul McCartney or Jimi Hendrix, mm-hmm. and said, excuse me, your pinky's down in the wrong place,
right. Yeah.
You just told the greatest guitarist of all time,
yeah.
You made him conform. You know what I mean? Like, and he would have developed his style and his sound.
Right.
Exactly. So, it's a very important thing for people to hear.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I would just look at the tabs, and, you know, a lot of it didn't make sense for the first couple of months. You know, I would learn just little parts here, and I'd give up right away because I didn't know what this stupid thing was or whatever. And then I figured it out slowly and slowly and slowly. And then, like I said, me and Tom would play. Everything I learned, I would go show him, and everything he learned, he would come show. Now, he learned more often than me.
Smart,
he had patience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, all right, you know, I'll play this forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
he would always learn stuff. And so we jammed for a while. I think for like 2-3 years. I turned 21. I'm at Johnny B's, it used to be, in Port Carbon. And I'm over there, and I'm drunk. And I'm talking shit to the owner. Yo, Give me a gig, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, I got songs. I got songs, right? He says, okay. How about a Wednesday? And I was like, all right, yeah, fine. I go home. I wake up in the morning. I had anxiety like you wouldn't believe. So I had to call Tom. I'm like, Tom, dude, don't be mad. But
we have- I booked us for a show.
We didn't even have a PA, dude.
We didn't even have a PA. So I had to borrow a microphone. He had to borrow a microphone. We had to borrow speakers. We had everything we had. We had to borrow. We had no clue how it was going to go. It didn't. I mean, it was okay, I guess. But that was the first time I ever played out.
What were some of the songs on that night?
Oh man. But there were a bunch of older tunes.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah, definitely.
Tom brings some songs out that like no one covers stuff that he covers.
No, and that's what it was. A lot of that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like Never Been to Spain. Or, that was a cool one. Oh, he would do these cool Charlie Daniels songs. Or,
when he busts out Use Me Up, or when he busts out, like my favorite Jethro Tull, like, Locomotive Breath.
Yeah.
Who covers that?
We used to do that.
You know what I mean? Like,
it was awesome.
Like, when he I'm like, that is my jam. And then no one, like, he does stuff that no one does. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and I think, when we started playing, it was only me and him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just us two playing acoustic, and nobody did that then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was, we did a whole bunch of cool stuff like that. It was definitely Jethro Tull and Marshall Tucker. You know what I mean? We did that before, you know, anybody around.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a good time. So that's how I started to learn playing lead, because he was like, well, I'm not going to play lead. I'll just sing and play rhythm. So then I figured out how to play lead on my own. So I didn't even, I had no idea. So I played the same lead every time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? probably for 4 months, 5 months, you know? But it was cool.
Yeah. Okay. And then how'd you hook up with Fulton?
Well.
Much later.
Okay, so.
Am I jumping ahead?
No. I mean, that's a couple, yeah, it's a couple years. But after me and Tom were in a band, just me and him, we decided we were going to start a full band. So it was me, Tom, my Uncle Henry, and then Pete that used to work at the store.
Okay.
And we played for 4 years or something like that. And that was cool.
What was the band name?
5 o'clock Shadow.
How'd you come up with that?
It just, I don't know, I think I heard it on a commercial or something. I'm like, hey, what about 5 o'clock Shadow?
Like a Gillette commercial?
Yeah, I guess I might say, yeah.
Do you have 5 o'clock Shadow?
Like, that's right. All right, yeah, that's a cool name, yeah. We had logos and everything, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Did any of us have, like, scruffy faces at all?
Do you think I had a scruffy face? I just got my things to touch right now, you know? It took me 37 years to grow a beard.
Oh my God, here's a fun fact, a fun story. So I grew my hair out for a while, and I had that like
I remember that.
That soccer mom cut where like
I do remember
and
that.
You used to make just cut it off already, like, and then my hair got down to my chest, and I looked the part, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'd walk in carrying a PA to, like, this guy's gonna do something. Like, oh, I'm not in the band. I just carry stuff.
Right.
But then you start growing your hair, and then you had, like, the...
Yeah.
And then you looked at me, and you wouldn't take it out of your little... Like, reverse, you made fun of my man bun forever.
Yeah, I did make fun of your man bun. Yeah,
and then you had one of, like, oh, yeah. Okay.
You're right. I did.
Oh, that was a fun night, too. Can I tell that story?
What story?
So that was... This is way ahead. We're Tarantino on this. So Frank comes... Frank and Allison come to the show. Both these get pretty intoxicated. I think Allison or you went to grab something or do something, and you, like, both, like, fell into each other, and they're like, out! They gave you the Yeltsky, and I think Steve got on the microphone and he goes, this song's for Allison and Frank or something like that. And he says, bartender, real dude.
Wait, that was, where was that? That was at
Woody's.
Was that Woody's?
Yeah. And then you're...
Well, I'm glad you remember.
Yeah.
I don't.
You were hammered. And then all I remember is she went home, and then you came back by yourself.
No, she was out in the car. I had to come get her purse. This is funny. Okay, let's not talk too much about me drinking. But anyway, so I go get her purse. I come back out, right?
This was a long time ago.
So...
Go ahead.
So I thought we just went home. So 2 days later, we go to Rumors to eat, right? So we sit down, and the girls are like, "Boy, just come pay your bill." Like, what do you mean? Oh, a user in here. I'm Allison's about to fall, and I have her, and we're just spinning around in a circle. It's like, I didn't remember.
Yeah,
I didn't remember. But
those nights happen.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah, no, whatever. You know what I mean?
So funny.
Yeah, that was
that night too. A fight broke out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. That was a bad night. I just remember it broke out, and like the whole set got taken out. Like Tom's mic, I think, almost hit him in the head, and it was bad.
Wow.
That was a bad night. That was a crazy one.
Hmm.
But yeah, I love Woody's. That place, CeCe takes care of us.
Yeah, she's pretty all right.
Yeah, I love CeCe. All right, so you beat Fulton. You're at your 5 o'clock shadow.
We're 5 o'clock right. Shadow, yeah.
And you can't grow a beard to save your life.
I can't grow a beard to save my life. I don't even think I can play guitar at this point, so. But that's how I learned how to play leads.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing over and over. And we actually practiced, so that was good. So we practiced.
Is that the only band you were in that you practiced in?
No.
Okay.
No, I was in a couple of bands.
Okay.
But that's where I started getting comfortable playing out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we were, I don't know. I don't remember. I think I started singing in a band. Yeah, I did. I started singing in a band. And we're kind of heavier.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you remember the name?
All Play Dead.
All Play Dead.
Yeah.
Horrible band names.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. But
yeah.
You're right. Oh, every band I've ever been in, the worst names ever.
Like, the Boys of Syria is not a good
worst
name.
It's an awful name.
It's hilarious.
It's an awful name. It's an awful name.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, All Play Dead. We did that for a month or two. No, we were somebody else.
Who was in that band? Do you remember everyone in that one?
Yeah. Mike Javorka played drums. Jason Reed played guitar. I played guitar a little bit and I sang. And then Todd McShaw played bass.
Nice.
Yeah. That was all right. It was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what were some of your go-tos?
The songs?
Yeah.
Well, funny story. I just seen Mike Javorka, and he gave me a CD of our first show.
Really?
A DVD. It's an actual DVD. We actually opened up for 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
The band you just left.
No, I was still in that band.
Oh, okay.
I was just doing two of them. We did a lot of Stained, Alice in Chains, like that stuff that was on the radio at the time, like I can't remember exactly. We did listen to Metallica and stuff like that. But that was cool. Did that for a little bit, and then then I joined Tom's band. Oh, then I stopped playing with Tom for a little bit, and then I started playing with him again in Combustible Dust.
Combustible Dust.
Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, that was cool.
What did you play in a band called Combustible Dust? Was that original or was that a cover too?
That was all covers. I played guitar. Tom played guitar and sang mostly.
Just two piece?
No, it was a full band. We had a chick drummer.
Really?
Yeah. She was from like Lycans or something.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. She was good.
And then?
And then,
it's the most your brain worked in a while today.
Well, I gotta think.
smoke coming out.
And then I played in another band I was just a singer too. Mm-hmm. Also, what was the name of that band? Ooh, that's a tough one. Maybe. Overburn. Yes.
So you got. Alright, let me just go back. You got Overburn, Combustible Dust.
Yeah.
What was the one before that one?
5 O'Clock Shadow.
No, that's the first one. The one the heavy sounding name went out.
All Play Dead. Yeah, but me and Tom, we were called Hookah.
Hookah?
No, it was just me and Tom, yeah.
Okay, Hookah.
Yeah. Hookah, yeah.
The Combustible Dust turned into an actual fire then, right?
Right. Yeah. So we actually got cards, right? It said Hookah on it. And I showed it to my buddy. He's like, Hookah. Like, Hookah? Like, Hooker? Like, Hookah. He's like, I'm like, no
one knew what Hookah was at the time. But
right, well, it was a Hookah.
Yeah. Like, now they're like Hookah bars.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was their name.
Hookah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so what did I just say?
Hookah and combustible dust.
No,
and
no.
The burn one.
Overburn.
Yeah.
So that was a little longer one. We did that for a while. We did that for like 2 years.
You should start a band now just called Put Out Fire.
Put Out Fire.
Yeah. You did everything leading up to it. Now it's like, or the fire department.
I'm not done yet. I still got a couple more here. You think them were bad?
Nuclear Holocaust.
Then I was in another band where I sang and I played a little guitar. We were called Sicklind.
Sicklind.
Yeah. And that was one of the better ones.
Really?
Yeah. It was
heavy?
Definitely tested my voice for sure. We like did Deftones and Slipknot and some heavy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard you sing a heavy song.
Well, I can. I mean, I don't know about now. I might have a coronary, but I used to be able to.
Nice.
Yeah. Good enough for us to get gigs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we did that for a while. And then I was in a duo called Fluffy Hernandez.
Fluffy Hernandez.
Yes.
Are you naming these bands?
No, I swear to God, that's not even a lie. Fluffy Hernandez. But we only played at Amigos.
One time?
No, we played there like 8 times.
How did that name come up?
It wasn't my name. So the other guy, all he did was sing, and I strummed the guitar. And he's like, yo, if we're going to do this, could we just be called Fluffy Hernandez? I'm like, I don't care.
How is this? Did you hear my other band names? Fluffy Hernandez is not our... I'm cool with it.
It was all right. I mean, whatever. I didn't care. And then after that, I was in The Fog.
The Fog.
Yes. That was one of my favorite ones I was in.
Stephen King? No, that's The Mist. Yeah. There's a horror movie called The Fog, I believe. Yeah. Though. Yeah.
But that was a good one. That was a good band. We were really good.
Who's all in that one?
Me and Tom. Lou Hegg, God bless his soul.
Was it the sound guy?
No, he's the drummer.
No, I mean, did Lou become the sound guy of the area then? I'm thinking it was somebody else.
No, you're thinking of somebody else.
Okay.
Frasnelli. Joe Frasnelli and I can't remember. Brian something. I can't remember his last name. That was good. We did a lot of good tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Justin Jalbert. Great singer. We did that for a while. We never played out. Oh, no, we played out twice, 3 times.
Where at?
I think we did it at the Hot Rod. We had a pirate party.
A pilot party?
Pirate party.
Oh, pirate.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was fun. Yeah, we did it at Rumors, and we played, I forget where else we played, but we did 3 shows there. Man, I was in a lot of bands.
Yeah.
Wow. And then I was in Finding Isaiah.
Finding Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a terrible name.
That's not terrible, no.
Not bad at all.
No.
I mean, compared.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was with Brandon Johns.
Okay.
Me, Scotty Haas. He's the one. He died, too. And Jason Mitchell.
Okay.
It was a good band.
Brandon's a beast.
Yeah.
Brandon Johns is a beast.
He's my buddy.
He's a Flatline now.
Yeah, Flatline, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's good. He's been my buddy for a while.
And then what's his name's in Flatline, too? Brent?
Yeah, Brent. He's the man.
Did you see his Eruption video?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's good.
Just makes it look easy. Like, oh, anyone could do that.
No, he's good.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's cool.
So then, are we getting close to the boys here?
Yeah, we're getting close.
All right.
We're getting close. And then, oh, man.
You were in a lot of bands. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then what happened was, I think we're right there now.
Okay.
What happened was, so my mom really liked The Kissing Booth, right?
Yep.
With Jay Bird and Steve.
Now, Kissing Booth ended with Jay Bird, but started with Andy, right?
No, started with Jay Bird.
Ended with Andy. Yes. Okay, I knew it was one way or the other.
So my mom used to go see him all the time. So then I start talking to Steve and, you know, not much, but a little bit.
Mm.
And just I happened to go up there one day and I need some strings and he goes, hey, And I think they broke up at this time. Where are you going tonight? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, you want to play? He's like, somebody canceled. I got this gig over Strikers. I was like, yeah, I'll play. I don't care.
What was that gig? Just used to?
No, yeah, it was only us two. Yeah. But there was a couple other people that were playing. But
so Steve was doing the solo acoustic thing for a while there? Just himself?
No, he was playing with Jay Bird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I don't think Jay Bird could make it that night. So he called me. Like I said, I went to the store. And I showed up. It was fun. You know what I mean? Me and him had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hung out for a while after that. We actually got together and practiced.
Yeah.
A couple of times, you know? So we kept doing it. We did that for about 6 or 7 months, just me and him. Then he's like, yo, do you want to play electric, man? I'm like, fucking A, I want to play electric. So we started the Kissing Booth again. So that was me, him, Bob D, Andy, and Mikey Morton.
For nice.
The drums, yeah.
Is that when you guys opened for Bret Michaels? Or were you
No. I wasn't in the...
I heard a really funny story the night from Andy that night. I heard some of them from Steve, but then it was reconfirmed by Andy.
Right.
Some of the shenanigans that went on.
I'm sure there was some. No. We didn't...
I didn't know Bob D played for a while until, you know, I hung out with him like 6 or 7 times, and then he busted out guitar. I was like, holy shit, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob D played. He's cool. And then, like I said, that ended, and then me and Steve started playing at the Greystone, and we played like 2 or 3 times. So I go over to practice, and Terry's there. And we started playing, and it was like, like Terry.
Well, Steve told me, that his dad heard Terry playing.
Okay.
And his dad pretty much said, Steve, like, you need to get that guy in a band with you.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good.
Yeah.
Like, so Terry got, I don't even know if Terry's aware of that, but from what Steve told me, Terry got, he got the nod of approval from Steve's old man.
Well, I know that Terry and Steve knew each other.
Yeah.
You know, from playing in the bands at the Roller Rooster or whatever. But yeah, man, he came up, well, he was there, and we got along immediately. And then we started playing, and I was like, at the end, I'm like, yo, you want to come play with us, you know, this weekend at the Greystone or whatever? And he's like, yeah. And then he came, and then everybody was just like.
You just took off.
I just took off, man.
Yeah.
We're playing everybody's birthday party, graduation
parties.
All the time, man.
Yeah.
And it was a good time.
Yeah, it's unreal what, it was like, I came, you know, later then it became a 4-piece, and then by the time I started hanging around, I think Terry was just leaving because he wanted to go do his own thing, and going through some stuff, and you know what I mean, and then it was just you, Dave, and Steve, and then but it was just some of the events you guys played, it blew my mind.
Yeah, it blew my mind.
Yeah. I remember I went to a show with you guys, and I'm a poor dirtball from Monty City. I don't know anyone from this side of the mountain,
right.
So I couldn't tell who I was sitting with, who I was talking to, who I was hanging out with, and I remember just being at this table, and I'm just kind of hanging out with this group, and I walked over, and I don't know if you pulled me aside, or Steve, like, you know, you're sitting with, like, and at the time, I didn't know, it was like Pat, it was like, he was like, you're like with, like, probably the most wealthiest people in Schuylkill County, like, and I was like, and they come to your guys' show, and they're like, they fucking love us,
that's,
like,
that's all we played for with people like that for years.
And you guys would literally just get, like, ham-boned and just have a blast.
Ham-boned.
And
every single time.
And it just, the crowd that loved you guys was the right people.
Yeah.
It really was. Okay. All right. We're back. Frankie had to pee. All right. He's getting old. You know, he can't hold it in like he used to. All righty. Where were we? So, the Boys Upstairs are in full effect. You got the 3-piece. You're playing. You're playing for the really cool people playing awesome venues.
Awesome.
Then Dave joins.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Dave came. He came a couple times.
Because for a while there, Terry played keyboard and a drum.
And a drum, yeah. But then Tim Doyle played for a little while too. Not every show, but he played. He would come every Wednesday, or he'd come, whatever, every time we needed him or whatever.
What did he play?
The drum.
Drum. I think the night you guys played at McNiff's, it was that him.
Yeah, it might have been.
I don't think it was Terry.
Right. Well, it might have been. Yeah. I liked him. You know, I really do. But, you know, to be honest, we kind of squeezed him out. I felt bad. He was kind of bummed out. You know what I mean? But Dave came Dave came a couple weeks in a row, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, why not?
Fit the bill.
He fit the
crew.
He was good, yeah. He was out of hand. I go, all the other.
Yeah, just like the rest mm-hmm. of them. Steve's. I don't want to go too much more into the right. to the boys upstairs because we just did the episode with them. But Steve's my favorite quote that Steve put out there in the last episode is with we're an acoustic band who parties like Motley Crue.
it was
minus the hard drugs. Obviously,
it was something. I could. You know what? I'm not even going to explain it because you wouldn't even understand. And I mean,
yeah,
it was out of hand.
It was
completely.
Yeah,
100%.
But it was a blast.
Great time.
I wouldn't take that back that part of my life for anything.
No, I'm sure my liver would though.
It's gotta be punished. So now you're kinda doing your own thing?
Yeah.
Play here and there.
I just play whatever I want.
Yeah. Who are some people that you've played with now that you've kind of been by yourself?
Oh, just me. I mean I go to open mics. I go to DLP. I get there.
Are you still doing originals?
Yeah. I have about 10, 11 that are done. I have about 10 or 11 that aren't done.
Yeah.
You know, but they're all... I think I kind of took a break for a while.
From music?
Yeah. I don't want to say I took a break, but, you know, before I used to play my guitar every day, and now I'm getting back into it again, but, you know, for a while, you know, the only time I play is if I went to open mic or, mm-hmm. you know, but it's just a phase.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a break.
There was a point in your life there where it was a lot of music.
Yeah, I had other things going on too, so I had to really shut everything down and just
kind of reassess and
focus myself on mm-hmm. other things.
Understandable. So. Well, it's good that you had self awareness and you were able to address that and take care of it.
Well, I had self awareness, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a little help, but
yeah,
I needed a little fire in the ass, but
good. Yeah. That was something I was worried about for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
But I'm happy.
Rightfully so, you weren't the only one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm happy you came out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super happy. I know we talked a while about you were talking about maybe doing like a business. Is that still something in the works?
Well, here's the thing. Remember the question you asked me? I'm gonna answer it now.
Here it is. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for.
Okay, so the question was, if I had one question and somebody had to tell me 100% what it is,
mm-hmm.
I would say, are you fucking serious? Are you serious?
Like, are you not bullshitting me?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yes.
That would be it.
Because people talk a big game.
They talk a huge game.
Yeah.
A huge game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not just about, listen, I was supposed to open up a restaurant. Got boned. I had a business. Got boned. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get into it, whatever it is,
yeah.
what it is, but, and not only that, I mean, even just, let's say I run into somebody at like a bar or restaurant or whatever, and they're, you know, they're half in the bag, and I really like the way they play, and, you know, or whatever.
We should do something.
And are you fucking serious? You know what
yeah.
I mean? Don't, you know, because I just, no, I'm not saying I'm not guilty of that.
Oh, we all are.
Oh, because I am. But at the same time, I guess I'm being kind of a hypocrite, but
yeah.
I think when it comes down to it, that would be the question I would have to ask every single person.
I think that was, I mean, one of my driving forces to starting this podcast was, you know, hanging out with you guys and being very fortunate to meet people and hear stories, because obviously I wasn't on stage, so by the time you guys started playing till the time it was over, I would meet really, really cool people and hear extraordinary stories,
right.
and some of them were really like sad and dark,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it's like, hey, but now I'm out, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, and some of them were super uplifting and positive, like, hey, I'm a local business guy and I started this business and now I'm one of the best businesses in Sewell County. It's like,
right.
it's inspiring, man. Mm-hmm. And I just always had, I guess you would say, like a gift of talking to people and kind of like a manager's skill, like,
mm-hmm.
Steve, like, yo, remember for us that this person wants to book us,
yeah.
and then I'd be like, hey, just contact that person.
Yeah.
And then I how you're kind of talking about where people are kind of like all talk. I've seen a lot of that where people are like, hey, we should do this, or hey, this should be happening. And then I remember I did this idea like 4 years ago. I sat down with a friend and he told a story and it was something I really wanted to pick up. And then I sat the idea down again with, I think it was Todd and Steve, I believe. And then Dave came later, and they're like, "Dude, that's a good idea." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Yeah." And then I was that person. Like, talk was cheap. Like, I didn't follow through. And then I just, you know what? And that kind of stuck in my head too. Like,
right.
don't talk about it. Be about it.
Right.
And they went for it. Like, right. I sold all of my, like, I had a whole bunch of, like, my nerdy collectibles. I sold them all, and I bought what you see here. And right. I went for it. You know, I didn't really ask for much help. I just kind of did it.
Right.
And then once I got it going, I was like, hey, this is something that's going to be something serious. Who wants to
jump? I think it's a great idea.
Who wants to jump on the team? Right. You know what I mean? And then I kind of assembled a team and, got some feelings hurt here and there, and you know, but it just, I push, you know what I mean? Like, I demand, when I want something to go, I mean, you were there, like, I had nothing to do with the band, but if in my mind, the show was going to be a good show that night,
yeah.
I worked my ass off,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of like this, I took ownership to it, and I busted my ass, like, mm-hmm. And then people are like, hey, like, and I tell my team, like, I demand a lot, and if you can't make it, you can't make it. But I'm gonna do it without you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going. It's Gaslight. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, and then a lot of that was a tribute to you guys. Like, I got more of a business side and a creative side and how to go about that from hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, not just you know, people that are at the bar or whatever. I mean, I think everybody in your life, like, whether it be, you know, your girlfriend, your kids, anybody, if they say something to you and you're like, wait a second. Are you serious? You know what I mean? You want to know, is that, do you mean that?
Yeah.
Or the kids, you know what I mean? Wait, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, what I would even tell people is, you know, the work it's going to take to get to what you want to do.
Right. Yeah.
And if it is, then I got your back. Let's do it.
But I think it's, you know, I think it's generally, that would be the question.
Yeah.
Or that'd be the question. I think it's a good one.
Yeah. I like it.
You like it?
You know how many people come up to me all the time? I want to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You message me when you're ready.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'll hunt you down. I tend to not try to ask too many people to be on it. If I'm asking you to be on the show, I'm interested.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Right, yeah.
And there's people who I'm super interested that I don't have the balls to ask yet.
Right, yeah, okay.
But if, and I would never turn anyone away. If you have a story, I'll let you tell it.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's been a really good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I could talk all day, but I mean, I don't think I really want to get into. And listen,
you got kids, you got a family. Well, there's certain things you don't want to put out there.
No, not only that, but I mean, you know, and no judgment to other people or whatever. But I'm not that guy that has to be like, you know, I've been clean for this long, or you know, I don't need to.
Yeah,
it's nobody's fucking business.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, and it just comes back to, you know, what we talked about originally. It's I don't really care much about what people think about me, and I'm not moving. I'm not going to run away. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and we'll go from there.
Yeah,
you know.
You always had that personality bait that I admired. I was like, you know, Frank's going to do what he's going to do.
That's it.
Like, you could be like, Frank, don't do that. You'd be like, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it anyway. You know what I mean? And you know, I might have pissed some people off, and I'm sure I have. You know. Mm-hmm. It's nothing against them. It's just that's the way I feel about things. If I don't feel like doing it, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. You're always, it doesn't really go to anyone. You're always going to be the villain in someone's story.
Yeah, always, yeah.
You know, and even if you want to be that person and say, hey, I'm sorry I was that person, they may not accept it, but at least in your heart, you're like, hey, that's not the person I once was. Or everyone's always striving to become something better.
Right.
So one of the biggest things, especially with this podcast that I try to put out there is, you know, if you really want to make a change of who you are as a person and go through that, you don't have to always talk about it. I mean, sometimes it helps people to get the story out there.
Well, no, and I think it does. But
you have to be self-aware enough to be like, okay, people are going to hate me. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to take my lumps. I was this. I hurt people.
Yeah.
And now I need to come out. I need to take my lumps, my bruises, but I need to show people that I'm not that person anymore.
Right.
So your actions need to be stronger than your words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's something that you are doing for yourself.
I mean, I think so. I'll drink some beers, and, you know, I happen to get drunk sometimes. You know, I do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I go to the same places. I try not to cause a scene, you know, but, you know, it's not,
it happens.
You know, I'm not a jerk about it. You know, I'm just a loud guy who likes to laugh.
I've never seen you in a bar get upset and fight by anybody.
No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, often. You're probably loud and obnoxious and being funny and being loud, and people are just like, all right, enough.
Yeah. You're getting on my nerves.
Yeah, right? But you're not like you would get kicked out for being on someone's nerves. You're not getting kicked out for fighting someone.
Right. Yeah. Did you see me? I'm not a fighter. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. I mean, it's.
I think the one time people thought we were fighting at Woody's, and we were just wrestling around.
Yeah.
A lot of good times, brother. On closing, is there anything you want to wrap up with, talk about, or put out there?
No. I mean, I think. I can't really. I mean, like I said, I could talk all day. I got stories and stories and stories.
Well, here's the thing: a lot of people, they come on, they tell their story, they go back and they watch their episode. If you even watch it, because you know, I haven't watched one thing. I watched this guy play for 2 years and he couldn't watch one episode.
I'm gonna watch him.
Yeah, I'm just busting. But the door's always open. If you ever want to come back and do it again or talk about something maybe you forgot about, that for every guest I've ever had, that door's always there.
Yeah.
So, music wise, where can people find you?
On Frankie Klein.
Facebook. Frankie Klein.
With the Y, Frankie Klein, mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't try. I mean, if this is going to air Friday, you could probably get in by next Friday because hopefully your phone is taken care of.
Yeah. But, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
But. Message Allison. Send
Allison,
all messages to Allison. Thank you so much for doing this, man.
Yeah.
I know. I kind of put you
off. Here's what I'll do. When I have a recording of like some original songs, we'll come on. And we'll talk about them.
Sounds good.
Sound like a plan?
Yeah, absolutely. And anything you got going on where you have a show you want to plug or you have something going on, let me know. I'll share it on the page and more people will hear the story of Frankie Klein.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Love you, man.
Yep, you too, bud.
Yeah, so listen to this fucking...